going to jump into the teaching tonight, and I'm going to do my best to try to stay within 20 minutes so we can get into our small groups, but I reserve the right to have a five-minute buffer. All right, now that we all agree on that, we will jump into things. We are starting a new teaching series tonight called This Is God. This is God. And we are going to be discussing over the next 12 weeks who God is. Does anybody know who God is? I know who God is, but I don't know who God is. Does that make sense? He is just so great and infinite and mighty. It's like, man, who is this person that we talk about when we talk about God? And so for these next first 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about who just God is in general, when we talk about the concept of God and different aspects and attributes of God. And tonight, we're going to be specifically talking about the name of God. The name of God is extremely important because if we don't understand the name of God, it's very difficult for us to understand who God really is. And I want to show you a quote from Thomas Oden. He wrote a systematic theology book, which just basically means it puts order to understanding who God is. That's what systematic theology is. And he says this about the name of God. He says, Yahweh is a name, significantly a personal noun, not an impersonal noun describing an object. Yahweh is the name used to address an incomparably encountering personal subject who breaks through and circumscribes all our category systems. I think that is just a brilliant and beautiful quote about the name of God. So as we talk about the name of God and what God's name is, here's what I want you to catch tonight. This is what I want you to catch, that God's name is powerful. His name is not only powerful, but it is solemn. It speaks to the nature of who he is and allows him to be known on an intimate and personal level by all who call on his name. So there's a couple different aspects of God's name that I want us to talk about. If you're taking notes, this is the first point. Kids, you have notes. Adults, you should have notes as well. And I want to encourage you, as you're taking notes, right, don't just fill in the blanks, but take notes on things that you think are interesting and unique, but also write down questions, because after this, we'll go into small groups. And if you have any questions about the teaching, that's the time to talk about it and discuss and help each other grow in our relationship with God. So that's what we are going to do. If you're watching online, because we are live streaming tonight, you can take notes as well, and then you can maybe talk with your spouse or your family or talk to yourself or email me or call me, and we can talk about that as well. But the first thing I want you to understand about the name of God is this, that God is a solemn person. God is a solemn person. And this is very important, specific wording that I want you to catch. He is a solemn person. Now, to understand what we mean by this, we first have to understand God's pronoun, okay? Understanding God's pronoun, I want you to know, it's not some woke progressive theology that we have to understand his pronoun to understand who he is. But his pronoun is paramount to who this God that we worship truly is. We have to use some type of pronoun to describe God, right? Because God is a person. He is a being, not a thing. Sometimes when we talk about God, we think, oh, God is some thing. He's some subject up in the sky. No, he is a person. He is a being. We can't call God an it because he's not the thing. It denotes an aspect of being impersonal. And God is certainly not impersonal. He is very much a personal God. So we have three choices when we talk about God's pronoun that we can choose to try to understand and describe who this God is that we talk about. The first one is this. We can give him the he, him pronoun, right? He, him. And we see this all throughout scripture, right? God is referred to as a male. We say he and his and him. And sometimes people are like, well, why don't we say she and her? Like, why do we denote this masculine pronoun to God? Well, we will get into that, okay? Him, he has two definitions as the pronoun. The first one is it describes a male person or an animal, right? So if you are a male, I'm a male, so you call me, hey, he, him, up there on the podium, whatever it is, because I'm a person, that's a male. But the other definition refers to an unspecified person. And this is normally what we use when we talk about God as a he, him. It is just an unspecified person. We clearly see the pronoun he, him being used to describe God the Father, not because he is a male person, but an unspecified being. But still, it's not the best pronoun to use because it can be confusing when if we're talking about God the Father. Are we talking about Jesus Christ? Him is a better pronoun to use for Jesus Christ, right? Because he was a male person. He was God in the flesh revealed to us. So he, him, while it works and we see it in scripture, it's not the best pronoun to use to describe God. So the next one we see is this. We see the she, her pronoun, right? And the she, her pronoun, it also has two definitions. It refers to a female person or an animal, but the other refers to an inanimate object, Things like a ship, or your car, or a country, right? We buy a new car and you just slap it on the hood and you say, isn't she a beaut, right? Like, we use she to describe inanimate objects. And that clearly does not work for God because God is not an object. He is very much a living being. He is the supreme being of the universe. So she, her goes directly against who God is as a person. The third pronoun that we can use, and I think describes God the best, is thy, thou. Thy or thou. We're going a little King James tonight, okay? King James actually got a couple of things right, all right? And the first one is God's pronoun. Thomas Oden, he describes thou as this, as the solemn personal form of the second person singular address. What does that mean? It means thou, to put it in layman's terms, it's a sacred and personal form of you. You refers to any person or being. Like, hey, you over there, that person over there, I want to get your attention. It refers to a person or being, but you is an extremely informal type of language. You call somebody you when you don't know who they are, right? You say, hey, you, I need your opinion. I need your perspective or whatever it is. You don't really know who they are, so you just call them you. It's an informal type of language. But thou is not informal. Thou is solemn. What does that mean? It means it is formal. It is dignified. It offers deep sincerity and conscious thought and effort to the person being referenced. While it doesn't fully capture the person of God, it is the best pronoun that we can use to describe the Lord because the Lord is dignified. Right? When we come and we think about the Lord and we speak about the Lord, we should put conscious thought and effort into who we are referring to in this moment, the ultimate, great, and almighty God of the universe. In fact, when we look at scripture, we see it says this. It says, thou, O Lord, is what the psalmist says, are a shield for me. It's not just you, God. You, hey, God, you're a shield. You help me. You protect me, whatever. It is the dignified, it is the glorified God who is my shield and the lifter up of my head. It is solemn, formal, and dignified. So if thou is the best pronoun to use to describe the person of God, then why does the Bible still use the pronoun him? We see it right here, right? In verse 4, it goes on to say, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Well, as I mentioned before, him still works because it can refer to an unspecified person. But it doesn't fully encapsulate the sacredness, the holiness, power, might, and awe-inspiring wonder of God. What him almost always does when it's being used in scripture is it refers oneself back to the same God that was just referenced as thou, the pronoun that we use for God. So it just refers back to the Lord. As you see here in Psalm, it refers back to thou, O Lord. So now the question becomes, now that we know the proper pronoun to use to describe God, what is God's name? What is it? Is it Joe? Is it Jeff? Is it Sandra? What is God's name? Well, his name is God, right? That's what we think. Like, you, Pastor Brandon, you keep saying God. That's his name. His name is God, right? Well, we're going to get into that. But first, let's understand why names are so important. Okay, names are important because they point to a personal reality that cannot be summarized by any other term, all right? Think about it. I can talk about her all day long. I can talk about how she's beautiful and she's loving and she's compassionate. She's a little bit disorganized, but she's a hard worker for her family. And I can use this pronoun to describe her. And you would have an idea of the characteristics of who she is, right? She's loving, she's beautiful, she's a little disorganized, all of these things, but you wouldn't know her. You wouldn't know who she is. You don't know who I am talking about. I could say she has brown hair, brown eyes, and a smile that changes the grumpiest person into Mr. Rogers, but you wouldn't know the intricacies of the person. But as soon as I give you a name, immediately this character that I've been describing not only comes to life, but becomes personal to you. Instead of saying she, if I give a name and I say Kinsey is beautiful and Kinsey is loving, Kinsey is compassionate, Kinsey is a little bit disorganized, but Kinsey is a hard worker for her family. Instantly, you have begun to personalize this description, right? You can now think of moments in your interactions with Kinsey, conversations and situations where her beauty and love shone through, where her compassion reigned over everything else. Well, yes, she was a little disorganized, but man, she worked hard to get that project or program done because she loved the people she was doing it for. As soon as I say Kinsey, you know the details of who she is. Names are important. They personalize who we are talking about. But names summarize so much more than just characteristics. Names encapsulate personality. They reveal thought and emotion and previous experiences and moments in life related to that name. Names are powerful. Boys in the back, you guys are paying attention, right? I ain't afraid to call you out. All right. Names are powerful. How much more powerful then is the name of God? And God is so much greater and beyond us as humans. He needs his own pronoun and he also needs his own name. So imagine what his name summarizes about him. So here's what God's name does. God's name allows him to be known. God's name allows him to be known. This is your second point, kids who are taking notes. God's name allows him to be known. Now, this doesn't mean that we will know everything about God, right? It's impossible for us to define the entirety of God with a name. In fact, Thomas Oden, again, in his book, Classic Christianity, this is what he says. I love this quote. It says, he knows God best who recognizes that whatever he thinks and says falls short of what God really is. We can't fully know who God is because of his name, but we can know more about who it is. It allows us to personalize this God that we're talking about. While we can't know everything about God in our minds, we can know God personally in our hearts. His name reminds us of the times where he was our Lord. He was our deliverer, the great I am in our life, the creator of the universe, and the one who simply is. God's name allows him to be known, but not fully. Knowing God's name can only get us so far in relationship with him. This is why scripture says, many will call you Lord, Lord, but I will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. You can know the name of God. You can know the characteristics of God, but you can't fully know him just by his name. That's why God sent his son, Jesus, so you can know him more intimately. John 1:9, it says, if anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So if we want to know God more, then we need to also know Jesus. While God's name allows him to be known, the life, teaching, ministry, death, and resurrection of Christ reveals God to us so we can fully know who he is. So God's name allows him to be known on a personal level, and a relationship can form. The third thing that's so important about God's name is this, that God's name reveals his nature. God's name reveals his nature. So what is God's name, right? We've gone this far in the teaching, and Pastor Brandon, you haven't told us who God's name is. What is God's name? Well, God is so beyond our own thoughts and perceptions. He cannot be referenced by just one name. As such, God has many names, not just one. Though there are many names, though, they all point to one single reality, the God of the universe. This is important to know. So when you read your Bible and you see different names of God, it's not talking about different gods. It's talking about the same God. It's just revealing a different aspect of his nature. These names reveal his nature, his character, his attributes. So if we want to understand these areas of God, we first have to understand his names. And just because there are different names does not mean that there are different gods, like I said. There is one God. who cannot be fully explained, but has revealed himself through various names so we can know him fully through his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's get into these names that allow us to know the Lord. The first name that we need to know, and this is an important name, because when you look at all of the names of God in the Bible, this is the one name that God refers to himself. All of the other names we as people, as humankind, give to God, this is the one name that God ascribes to himself, and it is Yahweh. Yahweh. Or you may know it as Jehovah, just a different way to pronounce the same name. You see, Yahweh is translated into English, into our Bibles, as Lord. So anytime you see the capital letters Lord, it's referring to this name of God, to Yahweh. And here's what Yahweh means. It literally means I am. I am. It's he who is. He who is who he is, simply is. It describes the nature of God, and we'll get into the nature of God next week and dig more into what this means, but it means I am. Yahweh is a conceivable form of to be, to simply be, that will still be when all other forms of being are no longer anywhere. It shows that God has always existed and always will exist. He simply is. Yahweh is present. He is accessible, near to those who call on him. We see God refer to himself as Yahweh, as I am, in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses goes to the Lord and God is calling him to be his voice and to go into Israel and set the slaves free. And this is what it says. It says, then Moses said to God, if I go to the Israelites and tell them that the God of the forefathers has sent me to them and they ask me his name, what shall I say? And God answered, Yahweh. I am. That's who I am. Tell them I am has sent you to them. This is who God refers to as himself, the God who is, the God who just is. So if you're in a place in life where you're just, your mind is racing all the time, you're not satisfied, you feel uncomfortable, you feel like there's something that you need to do, you're restless, you're anxious, all this stuff, remember to call on the name of God who simply is, and just be in the presence of God. That's who he is. The second name that we see that is powerful, that refers to God, is Elohim. Elohim. Elohim is translated into English as God. And this is the more of the common version of God that we use. It literally means a mighty and powerful creator. That's what Elohim means. And Yahweh, we'll see in a minute, it was extremely a reverent name for the Jews, where they wouldn't even spell the entire name. They wouldn't even vocalize Yahweh. So they would use different ways to describe God, like Elohim, like just God, the mighty and powerful creator. It's the plural form of the name El, which simply, like I said, is mighty and powerful. So Elohim, it encompasses the fullness and glory of all powers of divine nature. And as we see, it accommodates the doctrine of the Trinity from the very first verse of Scripture. We won't get into that today, but we'll get into that a little bit later. If you look back at Exodus 13 that we just looked at, we see Elohim being used in this passage of Scripture as well. So it says this, it says, then Moses said to God, he said to the mighty and powerful creator of the universe, because he doesn't know his name, so how is he going to describe him? The mighty and powerful creator of the universe. If I go to the Israelites and tell them that the mighty and powerful creator of their forefathers has sent me to them, and they ask me his name, what shall I say? And the mighty and powerful creator answered, I am. That's who I am. Tell them I am has sent you to them. So you see, Moses is referring to him as the mighty and powerful creator of the universe, and God gives himself a name saying, I am. And these two names of God, when put together, become Lord God. I, the Lord, your God. We see that all the time throughout the Bible. Whenever God speaks, they put these two powerful names of God together. I, the Lord, your God. Yahweh Elohim. It encapsulates much of who God is. Elohim becomes the generic name of God, the all-powerful, large, encompassing thought of God that we all have. And Yahweh becomes the personal or proper name of God, the one that shows the core of his nature as a person, that he simply is. Of course, there's other names of God as well that describe his nature, his character, and his attributes. But these two names right here are rooted as paramount to understanding who God is. He is Yahweh Elohim, the Lord our God. So that is the name of God. Real quick, we're going to look at a few other names of God based off of Yahweh Elohim that describe more of who God is, because again, it reveals God's nature. Here's a list of some of the names, and you may know some of these names. El Shaddai, based off of Elohim, God, the mighty and powerful. El Shaddai means God Almighty. He's the Almighty God. El Elyon is God Most High. El Olam, the everlasting God. And then we see Yahweh, and you may know it as Jehovah. It's the same thing. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord our provider. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer. And we see another name reference to God as well, which is Adonai. And I put this one in here for this reason. Adonai means my Lord. And you might be thinking, well, I thought Yahweh meant Lord. Well, again, as I said earlier, that the Jews, they revered the name Yahweh so much, they would only take out basically all of the vowels, and they wouldn't spell his whole name, and they got to a point where they didn't even want to utter the name of God. They revered it so much. So in about 300 BC, some pious Jews thought his name was so sacred that they came up with Adonai to refer to God. So these are the ways that we hear God being described in Scripture. The last important one to note as well is this. We see God referred as this name in the New Testament, and it is Abba, Abba Father. And anytime you see Abba put written there, it always is written as Abba Father. Well, Abba literally means father, but anytime we see it in Scripture, here's what it's saying. It's saying Father, 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 Father. And like, well, why are they repeating Father? That doesn't make any sense. But here's why. It's important to understand that much like the pronoun him, Father here is not assigning gender to God. In fact, the repetition of the name suggests a general guardian or parental relationship and is intended for this, to apply the analogies of both mother and father. So anytime you see Abba Father, what you're seeing is you are seeing God as a parent. God